Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Hey, look at that. Welcome back. I am Chris Welsh. That is Scott Bogman. And we
Hello.
Are In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Lots of ways to listen. You can listen if you want to listen live. You can listen on the free app. FNTSY. You can listen on iHeartRadio or tune in. If you want to listen on the podcast, you might also be able to do that on iHeart, but you can easily do that on Spotify or iTunes. Lots of ways to make sure you never miss a minute of the action as well. The gajillion podcast that we do. We got actually the Fan Track show we do with Joe Pizzapia is getting a little makeover announcement coming this Monday. And we do the In This League pods that are many and often. We like to talk to people.
Yeah, we are talkers. It's what we do for half of a living.
Yeah, don't you wish it was all of it?
Yep, sure do.
Yep.
Sure do wish it was, and it isn't. But.
Don't hear us FNTSY. Wish it was all of it.
Wish it was 5 days a week, FNTSY. No big deal.
Probably because we talk about speeding tickets though, and like
yeah, that stuff's funny. People get it. People are
relatable.
Out there.
We're relatable.
They're tired. They're tired of.
You sound like the guy in Office Space. Be like, I'm a communicator.
I talk to these people. You Nazis.
Yeah. By the way,
it's a jump to conclusions, Matt.
How bad is it right now in Yankee land? When you know you go out, you make a move, you trade for J.A. Happ. And you are continuously just suffering massive injuries to your best players. Gary Sanchez essentially played like he was hurt all year and then actually got hurt and was out. And Aaron Judge, horrible luck getting a chip fracture in his right wrist. I think they said he can't do anything for 3 weeks. Not touch a bat, swing, anything. And then they evaluate. I saw someone reporting online that this is typically with kind of, you know, rehab time, about a 6 week thing.
It's the second half for Judge. Last year in the second half, he was terrible. This year, he gets five games into it, breaks his wrist.
It's not good. Jacoby Ellsbury, that dude is, I mean, why that dude is even trying anymore is unbelievable to me. He's still not available. The Yankees didn't trade, which is funny because we were just kind of talking about this recently, that it's like, well, why don't you go trade Clint Frazier? You know, why are you still holding on to him? They haven't done that. They didn't trade Clint Frazier. But they still have a half-decent outfield of Brett Gardner, Aaron Hicks, who's been playing like a beast. And then they probably put a guy like Clint Frazier out there. No team has got better assets. Honestly, I'm not sure. I mean, the Padres are so depthy. And the Braves might be, in like real baseball terms, actually the best position because you know people are going to pay for young, high-end starting pitching. But the Yankees have so much of that. So many young pitchers. They've got hitters. Their system is stacked, and they can make all the moves they want, to be honest with you.
Right. Yeah, and they, to be honest, they probably could go and just pick up Bryce Harper if they wanted to. I just don't know why they'd want to trade any pieces for a guy that could potentially just be there next year and it wouldn't cost you anything.
Especially Gary when Sanchez, it's going to cost you
big stuff like Gary Sanchez.
Gary Sanchez, Miguel Andujar, and like one of your top 10 starting pitching prospects for Bryce Harper.
No, absolutely not. I'm not. If I'm the Yankees, I'm not doing that.
Think you'd do it?
Nah. Just for Harper? Like if you're getting Harper and Sean Doolittle back or Harper and Herrera
back. Yankee fans
would
be pissed if they traded Andujar and really it's
and
about
Sanchez?
Gary Sanchez.
Yeah. Yeah. They
you'd be pissed getting Bryce Harper.
I think that smart Yankee fans would be pissed. Be like, what are we doing?
Smart Yankee fans would actually be sitting there staring at like what minor league prospect they gave, and they'd be like, oh man, what? You traded Luis Medina? What are you talking about?
Right, exactly. And all the idiots would be like, no, we got Harper. I think you're giving up too much in that deal. I mean, unless the Yankees are just like, we hate Gary Sanchez, he's not going to amount to anything, then we'll trade him.
Collective but, universal
I mean,
thought right
now.
Last
year he was pretty good, so you know, he's had this groin injury the whole year this season that probably been bothering him the whole year, and he's hitting terribly. So he probably just needs to get surgery done with. And
I look at this Yankees team.
Get to rehab.
You make a move of getting Happ and Britton, you're going all in. So it's kind of that old adage of like, you can't go halfway in if you're going all the way in. You know what I mean? Like, you got to go.
How does that adage go? I'm
you can't go
remember.
Halfway in if you're going all the way in.
Oh, okay.
You can't put the tip in. You got to go all the way in.
Ah, I see.
The Yankees, they're docking right now. You can't dock. you got to go.
You got to bury that thing in there.
And if you get Happ and Britton, why would you stop there? Why would you stop there? I'm not saying it. I mean, the Harper thing, we're just talking here. We're just talking like a bunch of bros. That's not something I think is going to happen. No reason for the Nationals to make that move, though I do think there'd be a heavy consideration if the Yankees were to go all out. And I do think the Yankees should go all out. You have traded for two good pieces that are going to help a playoff run, and you've given up nothing. You've given up nothing in your minor league system. Sure, you don't want to give up Miguel Andujar, but if it took Andujar and another couple of people, you could make this happen. You can make the move. The Yankees are primed. The Braves, if the Braves truly wanted to go all in, they can go all in. I've never seen a team hoard their prospects like the Atlanta Braves do. They do not want to move, and they have got all the starting pitching prospects. They could make some serious waves.
Well, they haven't been in the spot for a while either. You know what I mean? They've been terrible and building their minor league system. So it's been a while since they made the playoffs. So them, you know, holding a wild card spot right now and also competing with the Phillies for that NL East crown, I think this is the time. And 2.5 games back of that spot, I would go out and get Chris Archer and see if he pans out for you.
Okay, so let's play the game then. You wanted to play it before, of finding the surprising trade. What is the trade that no one expects? Or maybe it's been talked about a little bit, but we're talking like this trade deadline, it's going to be lit. It's not going to suck, even though we're getting all these little trades. What's the trade that gets you kind of like, whoa?
Well, let me ask you this. Who is the best Red Sox prospect?
I mean, that's a great question. That's a loaded one. You want to know actually an interesting fact that you brought them up? MLB.com just did their midseason rank update.
Okay.
The Red Sox were the only team to not have a top 100 prospect.
They don't have any top 100s.
Nope, not one. Their top prospects would be probably three guys off the top of my head right now. Jay Groom, who had Tommy John surgery.
TJ,
and
right.
And he's out. Michael Chavis, who
suspended.
Well, he's not suspended anymore. He's back hitting
right.
a balmy 222. He's been in some trade rumors. And then Brian Matta, who just yesterday there were rumors of him only pitching one inning and being taken out. He was the only Red Sox to be in the futures game. So he was kind of their he's a low A pitcher. He's got some big stuff. It's not a good system. The Red Sox depleted their system.
I'm just thinking, since they don't have much to move, what if they flipped Rafael Devers for something big. You know what I mean? Or they could trade about big. Maybe. Well, I'm thinking Chris Archer. I just don't know that they need much in that rotation with how good they've been.
The problem would be is like, I mean, Pedroia, is that, what are they going to do at third base?
They trade a scrub for Mike Moustakas.
Okay, that's interesting. I mean, you might have to trade Chavis or Matta.
Pieces. Yeah, sure, whatever.
So you're saying trade Rafael Devers to get a guy. You probably have to trade more, though. You probably have to trade, like, Matta and Devers to get Archer. And then for Moustakas, you've got to hope that maybe you can move Jay Groom.
Yeah, but I don't even know if they need they don't need a rotation guy, do they? I mean,
They acquired Nathan Eovaldi. They're doing great.
Yeah, I think he's going to be more of a stretch guy.
Their rotation is Sale, Price, Porcello, Pomeranz, and Eovaldi. That's their five.
Well, I mean, they could trade for Archer, and then, but I think if they're going to trade for Archer, they probably would have done that, not done Eovaldi, right? So, I don't know, like that's one that I just thought about. Like, if the Red Sox want to keep pace, if the Yankees are making these moves to try to catch them and they don't have much in their system, that Devers would be the odd guy out. And you have plenty of third base options on the trade market. Mike Moustakas is out there. Adrian Beltre is out there. And there's other pieces. They could probably give up something small to get back a guy like Solarte from the Blue Jays. You know, they could fill in with someone else at third, but Devers would be the big piece that they would move to make a big deal happen.
You know, where are the Cardinals at right now? How far
are
they?
They're not good, man. They're 8 games out of the NL Central. Behind Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, and the Cubs there.
How about this? Everyone's talking about Jose Martinez as a potential trade piece.
Only 3.5 out of a wild card spot, though.
What if the Cardinals move a guy like Matt Carpenter and they get some pitching or they get some more hitting? I mean, they've got a couple holes. Second base doesn't look fantastic. They could put Jose Martinez at first base. They've got Martinez, Wainwright, and Waka all hurt. And then they're going to minor league guys. They got Mikolas, but then they got Flaherty, Weaver. They brought up Ponce de Leon, Gomber, you know, that's the place that they've been living in. What about, it's like classic fantasy stuff. Capitalize on Matt Carpenter, who is just absolutely destroying the world right now, and see how many assets you can get moving him to a team like the Yankees.
You know what we heard in the offseason, too? I like that deal a lot. I mean, even Dozier, you know, they need a second baseman.
Dozier's another one of those guys we didn't mention that, like Dozier, Moustakas, Adam Jones, those are very likely. Jonathan Scope is another name that's being floated out there.
Just
those
anyone on the ones. Orioles that is halfway good.
Yeah,
should be put up there. What about, you know, and we heard about this possibly a San Francisco deal in the offseason, Billy Hamilton. No one's really talked about Billy Hamilton potentially getting moved. The Reds are 10 games back of a wild card. They're you know, the 14.5 back of the division. So
I know,
and
it's
also
tough.
Votto.
Well, Votto's contract is difficult. He'll never go. He's the face of this team. And what I was about to say is it's tough
but
for the Reds.
He's old and they suck.
Yeah, but he doesn't suck. And guy wants to play till he's 40. You hear he did an interview and he was like, I'm going to play till I'm 40, 41. And he's like, what I want to do when I retire. And he interrupted them leaving the segment to say, I want to ride a school bus. Like, I want to drive.
What?
He's like, yeah. He's like,
he wants to be a school bus driver?
Yeah. He's like, when I retire at 40 or 41, he's like, I want to be like a crossing guard or drive like a yellow school bus. And I want to, like, you know, help kids like across the street or take them to school. And he was dead serious.
Why is he so boring?
He's just, he's an interesting. I kind of love Joey Votto. I told you in spring training.
I don't know. I feel like what's his name? Mark Maron. In Glow, when he's like, maybe I like your face, maybe I hate it, maybe I love it too much, I don't know, I can't figure you out, Ruth.
Yeah,
you know,
that's Joey Votto. That's 100% Joey Votto. But like, remember, I was out here in spring training, and I was there towards the end of, like, you know, their practice and whatnot. They end the practices at 12:30. All the stuff kind of winds down about 11:30. And most of the players were gone. There was one side field that had, like, low minor leaguers that were practicing with as a famous former Red, I can't remember, Barry Larkin, I think it might have been. And on the right-hand side, Joey Votto didn't leave. He had some kid I mean, this kid is probably, I want to say 16 or something like that. He worked with this kid for 45 minutes and taught him the intricacies of playing first base. Like, wow. He had him on the field. He was showing him stuff. They sat in the dugout, and he was just talking to this kid for 45 minutes. And then he came out, and he was, like, signing stuff for people and joking around and stuff like that. And, like, someone yelled at him. They're like, Joey, you should have won MVP. And Joey looked up. He's like, I already got one. You know, and like I kind of love the guy. But with that, I think it's tough for the Reds to fully commit to some type of a rebuild.
2023.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's there forever. But you lost Jesse Winker. Your rotation has been kind of garbage this year. They should go full rebuild. They should move. You know,
they really should. I mean,
keep
if
Molly
they can find
Castillo,
somebody to take his contract, it'd be great.
Yeah, dude. You got Eugenio Suarez. You're doing great. Maybe try to move a Peraza, move a Billy Hamilton, move some of those pieces for some younger assets. I think the Reds would be a great option to that. Though I will admit, you look at their team, not a lot of good stuff to sell. They could sell Raisel Iglesias.
They could sell Suarez.
They're no chance they move Suarez. No chance they move Scooter. I don't think Castillo or Molly go. So you're looking.
But they talked about moving Scooter all year last year. I know he re-signed, but I mean, come on. They could flip Scooter.
Yeah, but he's been amazing. I think the Reds are one of those blind teams.
You
got to
do what the Astros did
anymore,
right?
I totally agree with you. I don't think they have the assets to do the complete destruction. And I think the Reds think they're a couple pieces away. So if they were like, okay, we're going to trade Iglesias because we got Michael Lorenzen who can come in, or Jared Hughes, we'll trade Billy Hamilton because, you know, Jesse Winker was good and we got some other guys in the minors that are coming up. I don't think they would completely blow it up because of their minor league system. They would just try to trade for some assets that'll help them next year.
I get what you're saying. I just think if you're Cincinnati, you got to realize you are stuck in a division with the Cubs. The Cubs are always going to have money. People are always going to show up to Wrigley. So you have to fight that every single year.
But what does that mean? What are you going to get for guys like Scooter and Johannes? I mean, Johannes
Suarez
doesn't matter.
You need to chop it down. You need to chop it all the way down to the bare bones. You got to suck for 3 or 4 years real bad, like Orioles level suck. Ooh. For 3 or 4 years and then rebuild. That's exactly what the Astros did. I think that's kind of the model that teams need to go by anymore. You got to be real bad for a long time to get back up to perennial greatness, especially when you're in a tough division.
Well,
like the Reds.
The Reds also have one of the better minor league system as well. I mean, they've got, you know, Hunter Green, who's throwing 102, Taylor Trammell, who was the Futures Game MVP. They've got Nick Senzel, who had vertigo, who'll come back next year. Jeter Downs, who's one of my favorites. They got a lot of guys. So
Jeter Downs.
Exactly. Voey Jotto.
That's my favorite.
No more baseball because we're going to talk about football. We're going to talk about Dez Bryant, who is on Twitter, not only potentially signing with a team, but also complaining about play calling. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of other fantasy football stuff. So get strapped in for your fantasy football prep because we got it right here in this league. We'll be back.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face? Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In this league.
I think that rejoin might have been written by Dez Bryant. Welcome back. It's In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you guys want, go check us out over at InThisLeague.com. You'll find a whole bunch of fantasy football prep there. You'll find mock draft episodes, mock draft results. And we have had a litany of awesome stuff from our fact series with great people in the industry like Jake Seeley, Chris Harris, Nate Hamilton. So we did all our fact series, all our mock draft episodes where we do them live. And this coming week, it's a big In This League podcast week. We are doing a podcast every single day on our In This League fantasy football feed where we are going through ranks and then the top overall. So Monday, we got quarterback ranks. Then we go running backs on Tuesday. Boom, boom, boom. When we get to Friday, that's where we're going to do our top overall list, and we're going to talk about draft strategy using that overall list. Five straight episodes, and you can find the In This League Fantasy Football podcast feed anywhere. We're on iHeart. We're on all the places, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, wherever you could possibly think. You can bust up the Google podcast app, and you can search us. We're right there. Get locked into it, because it is a heavy week of In This League content, and we, you know, kind of regret it a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, like a lot like Des Bryant in these tweets that he's doing today.
So
sometimes we regret it. This dude is definitely going to regret all this stuff.
I kind of wish.
Save it for the book, man.
Well, like,
good Lord.
So a lot of news was breaking on Friday of Des Bryant and, well, it was even a couple days before, where the big Des Bryant stuff that we had heard was John Dorsey kind of came out and had acknowledged that they had a little bit of interest in Des Bryant, which is a much bigger piece of this conversation from a fantasy perspective that we will talk about.
Yeah.
But Des Bryant, I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was starting to talk to teams, if there's interest. I
feel like he couldn't get signed by the Browns, and this is what set all this
there could be. I mean, if you're a team, and you're seeing Des Bryant. So what Des Bryant did is Des Bryant had a Twitter dump. He was, quote, tweeting everybody, going through tons and tons of stuff. I got to be honest with you. I'm not sure where this starts, because I'm looking here and I'm trying to find.
There's a hilarious one I have to talk about right now. This says, at Dallas Cowboys expectations of at Des Bryant, and it says reality. So their expectations were Samuel L. Jackson from Django Unchained, and the reality is Django. I thought that was just too funny.
So Des goes on this it's crazy. I'm telling you, I don't know where it started or what happened. The first thing I started seeing was Des Bryant was blaming the Cowboys in a purposeful manner for the crappy play he had last year. You know, like how garbage he was, because he was, you know, bad last year. And this thing has turned in to a whole nother level. So I'm going to just read you one. I'm going to have to bleep myself a little bit here. So I'm trying to see where this goes, because it looks like SiriusXM is involved. I'm trying to find the origin of these tweets. See, this won't even pull up. This person's responding to SiriusXM. So something must have come up on SiriusXM. This guy says, Stephen Jones is clueless. We all know that the play calling for the Cowboys has been suspect. Even back when we had DeMarco and Tony Romo, we throw on third and one instead of letting Murray run the ball like we've done all year. Des Bryant, quote, tweets, says, he's not clueless, referring to Stephen Jones. Jerry was the only one who was clueless. S was a plan to get me out. Ask Travis, my brother. Snake Lee, I mean Sean Lee. So there is.
How could Sean Lee get him out of there?
Like, there is some dirt. Okay, so I'm going to let me see if I can try to pull up some of these. Okay, so then in that tweet where he called him a snake, apparently there was so someone quote tweets the blogging boys, say, calling Sean Lee a snake. Wow. Des Bryant says, yeah, he's supposed to, I'm trying to read these tweets. Yeah, he's supposed to been my brother. We laughed, talked about goals and stuff. He sat right across from me in the locker room. Never thought we had a problem. I got cut. He was the first to know. I find out he was also behind it. Damn.
Wow. Ooh. Wow.
Okay.
Let me ask you something about that real quick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. While I'm trying to find more.
Do you think that's true? Do you think that there's any way, like, that Jerry Jones or, why can't I remember the stupid code? Garrett, do you think that they were asking Sean Lee? Because Sean Lee is a team leader. Do you think they were asking him about what they should do with Des?
Probably. I don't know. I don't know if they necessarily said that.
Not something you should do. You should keep your, this isn't basketball, right? Like in basketball, if you have a star player like LeBron James, you should go up to him and say, what guys would you like us to bring in, man? You are one of the best basketball players ever. In football, there's 53 guys on that roster.
I don't think it's
you to can't the, be asking one of them about the you have to be the GM.
I don't think it's the degree of what you're laying down. What I think it is Sean Lee is one of the captains. So what I think they do is they probably say, what's your perception of Dez on this team? You know, what is the team saying as a captain? What do you see? And he says, he's a great player, but he's not accountable. You know, he needs to be more accountable. He said, and I'm going to try to find it here. He says, I want him to be a leader. So they probably take those. And what he's getting at is Sean didn't have his back and saying you have to bring him back.
Okay.
That's where I think that's coming from.
Yeah, that sounds way more realistic.
Here's a funny one, by the
them
way.
Going up and say, you know, him actually being a part of it.
So this might be one of the original tweets, I think, from Friday. He goes, here we go with that scapegoat S. I charged everything to the game and went the other way. Y'all know what the real problem is. Don't put it on me with that bull S. Garbage ass play calling. Everybody lined up in the same spot for 17 weeks. So this dude, Richie Witt, is a Dallas guy, blue check mark, says, if Dez Bryant worked as hard to make routine catches as he does to attack his former teammates, they wouldn't be former teammates.
Oh, 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 oh.
So Dez says, shut up, dude. You're on the payroll. So what I want to find, dude, I'm telling you, here's another one. Ross Tucker gets in on it. This is a great one. PSA, if you are unemployed football player looking for a job, I don't recommend publicly calling out your previous owner, coordinator, and teammates. So Dez, quote, tweets him.
That's a great point. I mean, that is a really good point.
Dez is on everybody, dude. Dez, quote, tweets that, says, I'm not looking for nothing, so let's set the record straight. I just decided not to take no S from anybody anymore. Go rerun the summer. I haven't seen or talked about my future with the Jones all summer. Last day of free agency, I got cut. No fool here. At me next time.
No, I got to be honest, dude. Like, I kind of, my thought process was, well, you know, if Dez doesn't get a job, maybe they will bring him back in Dallas. If they go through camp and no one's looking good, or if Allen Hurns gets hurt again, something along those lines, maybe there's a chance for Dez to go back.
Hey, Bogman.
To Dallas, but that's definitely not happening now.
Bridge completely burned.
Completely burned to the ground.
Bridge completely burned. Here's we appreciate that. Sean Lee had a quote that he gave to a reporter. Quote, first thing, to say that I can get anybody off the team and have any input on the roster is absurd. Second thing, I love Dez and I want the best for him. To be honest, we did butt heads because I wanted Dez to be more accountable to his team and to his teammates. And to be honest with you, a lot of the team felt that way. I think he needs to look at himself and hold himself accountable. Thank you. And Dez Bryant says, the same teammates who gave me the info, with all this being said, he sat right across from me. Everything he said could have been addressed to me. Sounds like a backstabber to me.
Wow. Okay. If Dez is right and Sean Lee never said this stuff to him, do you think that, I mean, would you call Sean Lee a backstabber?
What do you mean?
Like, if Sean Lee never went up to Dez and said, look, man, I really want you to be a leader on this team. You can't get this frustrated. X, Y, Z, you know, take a leadership role, that kind of stuff. Because, I mean, Sean Lee is that guy on this team.
He's
right?
A leader. He's, yeah, team leader.
He's a leader guy. If he didn't go up to Dez and say, I want you to take responsibility, I want you to lead by example, all that stuff, is Sean Lee being a backstabber if the, you know, I mean, we're getting a lot of ifs and buts.
I'm sure Dez was really responsive, by the way, to being to that being said, by the way.
Right. I mean, you know, some people you just can't help at all. You know?
Matt Miller, NFL draft scout on Twitter, is a big one, says, talk to a couple Cowboy players this evening. To summarize, one, players I talked to are glad Dez is gone. Two, they collectively felt a player of Dez's reputation needed to be a better leader. Sean Lee. Number three, instead of being a leader, they felt Dez was a negative influence on young players. And then Dez quote tweets it, we need names, sir.
Well, there's a couple things with that, man. Like, I like Matt Miller. I listen to him. He's got a podcast called Stick to Football, and it's, you know, mainly about college football prospects and stuff, hence his NFL draft scout Twitter handle. But I don't know if that's something I'd be putting out there, man. You know, because you're kind of messing with the dude's job at that point. And I just don't know if that's something I'd be putting out there. I mean,
no, you're talking for Matt.
Says. I'm talking about Matt Miller, right? Like, you know, Dez has you give Dez enough rope, it looks like. You give him enough time on Twitter and he'll hang himself. That's what he's doing. You don't need to help him. And it seems like he's kind of stepping on this Dez train. Matt Miller is, you know what I mean? So I think that was a bad move for Matt Miller to do, but it's probably true too, man. You know, I think that people want him gone, and especially that's why this Brown stuff, the Welsh, never made any sense to me.
No,
because the fact that team is so young that they don't need, you know, Dez coming in there and messing everything up.
Well,
if he was a leader and he was accountable, not only would he still be on the Cowboys, but if he was a free agent for whatever reason, teams would be begging to sign him.
Well, one of the big deals that I've had here was the Josh Gordon situation. And when there was this little like information that was getting trickled out from Adam Schefter that the Browns might consider Dez Bryant, at first I was like, why would they do that? They're saying, you know, we're getting reassurance that Josh Gordon is fine. He's going to be back in, you know, maybe 30 days or something like that. Then John Dorsey says that they've talked about it. And I'm like, what is going on here? Why would you even do this? And then on Friday,
I'm talking about losing weight all the time, the Welsh. So.
Yeah. Well, but and then on Friday, like, they're in negotiations is the information we're getting. And when I saw that, Bogman and I got on the phone, and I was like, this is a death blow for Josh Gordon. This means we are in for some serious issues with Josh Gordon. But then I stopped for a minute, and I said, well, okay, let's think about this for a minute. Maybe the team looks and they say, Dez Bryant is a win-now guy. Maybe he's not quite leadership, but he's a veteran presence for a guy like Josh Gordon to learn from. Well, we know he's kind of a diva, but they got like Jarvis Landry in there. Maybe it would be a good thing. Maybe they have a trade in place for Corey. I'm trying to play the logistics.
Yeah, thing. Yeah.
Maybe they have a trade for Corey Coleman in place. So it's not about Josh Gordon not being there. It's more about they don't have a belief in Corey Coleman anymore. They want to bring in Dez Bryant, who makes sense for this ridiculous receiving core, and they're going to move on from Corey Coleman. I say all those things. After this blow up and this Twitter explosion that happens, this dump of information from Dez Bryant, I mean, he would be the worst thing that could come in for Josh Gordon and the Browns. He is a disaster right now. I know he says he's defending himself. Someone had tweeted at him and said, sometimes the best response is no response. And he quote tweets them.
For real.
He quote tweeted them and said, I tried that. And the guy goes, I'm going to pray for you. And then the guy was like, he's like, I'm good. Dez is like, I'm good. I don't need that.
I don't need your prayers for me. That's such a dumb response. How about this? You know, the day after you sign, how about the minute after you sign with a team? Unload, go nuclear on Twitter. Do and say whatever you want after you sign that deal.
How can
you know
the Browns
who's
sign
the most
now?
Pissed off right now? You know who's pissed off
John
more
Dorsey.
Than Dez? No, his agent. His agent is pissed right now because not only did we get out of the stuff, Dez is a diva that will go to Twitter and complain about stuff, which he hasn't done in the past. This is his first big blow up that I can remember.
Yeah, I mean, he's always kind of had that little, like that moniker that's followed him, but that's why I even said, hey, man.
Thing.
But that's why I said earlier to you, I was like, you know, he's like a veteran guy. He's been there. He's done that. He can provide some tutelage for a young guy like Josh Gordon. And I think, you know, it all but helps, you know, because one, and sorry, you get back to your point, but like Jarvis Landry and Corey Coleman could kind of maybe necessarily play the same role. Then you could put Landry in the slot if you got rid of Coleman and you brought a big guy like Dez in, but hell no now.
Yeah, and then it comes out that, you know, Matt Miller is reporting that his teammates hated his stupid guts. So, you know, why would anyone want to sign this guy? Like the way this guy gets signed is to a veteran team that already has some leadership in there. And they say, look, Dez, we need a receiver, but you come in and you keep your mouth shut and you do your job. You know what I mean?
You Which think is, he knows he's coming on Hard Knocks? You think that was a preamble to Hard Knocks? He's got to sign with the Browns now.
I mean, I don't see how the Browns sign him. Knowing all this stuff about how he's not a leader, he's not accountable, and his teammates don't like him, how can the Browns with that young team go and sign Dez Bryant. I don't think it's going to happen.
How would Baker Mayfield or Tyrod Taylor step into that offense and command respect?
You know where he's going? He's going to the New England Patriots.
Ah, I knew you were going to say the Patriots. Not going to the Patriots.
Bill he's Belichick's going to the not, Patriots. I'll put money on it.
He's not.
He's going to the, how much?
I don't know.
Give me 3-1 and do $20.
What? No, I'm not going to give you $60.
Yeah, you give me $60.
No. Go S yourself.
Well, he's and not F going yourself. To the Patriots. You just said it. You're very confident.
No, I'm just, he's not going to go to the
Patriots. He can sign with any other of the 31 teams. You win $20.
Why would, look at, why would Belichick sign Dez Bryant, especially after stuff like this? They got enough of those. They got enough of that issue.
Because they're going to get rid of Malcolm Mitchell. He's going to be gone. Julian Edelman's suspended for 4 games. And Dez Bryant is going to get to pull the stuff off around Tom Brady.
I mean, so, Bill Belichick, he'd like anything he can do to screw the Browns. So if the Browns were talking to him and he could swoop in. Like, my favorite thing still is the idea. I love the what?
He's going there. It's happening. He's
I love the conspiracy theory that the Browns were going to give him like 2 first-round picks, and Bill Belichick just wanted to stick it to him so bad that he called the Niners and was like, trade him to you for a 2nd-round pick just to spite the Browns. Like, I love that level of spite. I hope that's true. And to that point, maybe they signed Dez Bryant just out of spite.
I mean, maybe they do. I think that it would be I think it's a perfect fit as well. I think Dez Bryant going to New England, they need wide receivers with Edelman suspended and Chris Hogan having some injury stuff in the past. I think it's perfect for them. Do it.
All right.
Sign
Dez. We come back. We're going to talk more football. Maybe we talk more about the Josh Gordon thing. Do want to update. I jokingly said in the last segment, we just totally missed it, about like, hey, you know, Mike Moustakas could be like moved any minute. We wouldn't see it. That happened, by the way, and it did. So we can kind of review that. We're going to talk more, though, about a ton of fantasy football stuff. So don't go anywhere. At Bogman Sports, at Is It the Welsh. We'll be back.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
You can't believe what fell. All your dreams. Yes. Pops down the drain. Let's play some
In This League.
Welcome back. In This League, InThisLeague.com, or if you want to upgrade your fantasy experience and your In This League experience, go to Patreon.com/ITL Army. Join up as an ITL Army member. Get lots of perks, comedy shows. Our most recent comedy show actually was really fun. It was just a lot of kind of storytelling of Bogman and I, but talking about some horrible tippers in the Arizona place as far as athletes go. We talk
That's
about...
Right.
What a theoretical ITL live show could look like, and Bogman dating elderly women.
Taiwan Walker, great tipper, by the way.
And we found that out. Schmaiwan, yep. Schmocker, you mean?
Schmaiwan Schmocker. Well, I'm doing a little Postmates on the side, and with Postmates, you can wait to tip. Like, I've had a tip come in like 2 weeks later. So... and he did. So I was upset for a little bit. I was like, Taiwan Walker, man, you ordered a whole bunch of
maybe
all
you heard the secret show.
Go. You know, and
must have heard that secret show, man.
So yeah. I mean, all the other good ones and all the bad ones, perhaps a starting shortstop in Major League Baseball is a bad one.
Maybe a teammate of Cole Hamels.
Perhaps.
Maybe. yeah. So again, just a real quick baseball front. We talked about this earlier, and we're way too busy looking at Dez Bryant tweets, by the way. Completely missed this in the prep of it. But the Royals did trade Mike Moustakas to the Milwaukee Brewers for Brett Phillips and Jorge Lopez. So Brett Phillips, who famously has a laugh, like a really goofy ass laugh, famously actually during the 2016 Fall Stars game, we were meeting up with Spore and Eno, both at the time of FanGraphs. Eno's now just exclusively with The Athletic, but Eno was doing an interview, and he was doing like a live Facebook, I believe it was for FanGraphs, in the dugout for the Fall Stars game. And he spent a whole bunch of time with Brett Phillips. They did like a 12-minute thing, and he's a goofy dude. He's a goofy ass dude. Right after that, I believe it was, I had interviewed, or you know, we were doing an interview in the stands, or it was something along those lines, and I was talking with Eno, and Eno was like, one of my biggest takeaways from Brett Phillips was kind of concerning, and it was how Brett said he aspired to be a really good number 8 hitter in baseball. Like
what?
Yeah, like how he batted. At the time he was messing with his batting stance and stuff, and he was really looking to, I mean, he might have just purely been messing with Eno, but I don't think Eno was taking that from him, that like he was just messing around. He was like legitimately talking about how he was trying to, get more line drives so he could be a really good number 8 hitter. And it was always just kind of like a goofy attitude. He got himself a little bit better. This isn't a horrible trade for the Royals. Brett Phillips is a very serviceable minor league player, so getting him as from a rental of Moustakas is good. Jorge Lopez, I mean, nobody's more disappointing than Jorge Lopez. We've seen him for like 3 straight years. At one time, I don't know if you remember this, Boggs, it was Jorge Lopez versus Francisco Lindor. This is like 3 or 4 years ago at a spring training game. And we were both like jacked up. We're like, look at this minor league, duo that's going on. And Lopez is so disappointing.
Yeah, because Lopez was supposed to get a shot at the rotation that year.
Yeah.
He was kind of like the, the super, super sleeper. So, well, let me ask you this.
Never woke up.
What happens to Travis? Is Travis Shaw hurt right now?
He's going to move to second base.
They're going to just move him to second.
Yeah, okay. This has been rumored for like 3 or 4 days.
Jesus Aguilar. Well, the Brewers were in on Machado a little bit. I don't think they were in as deep as the Diamondbacks were. And obviously the Dodgers wound up with Machado. But okay, so Travis Shaw just moving to second.
Yeah, that's been the rumor, because right now it's Brad
that takes
Miller.
Him out of the Dozier race then, so.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, because Brad Miller is currently at second. Now, it does displace Jonathan Villar. Unless they want John VR to be the shortstop, which I think is very likely because Orlando Arcia is not working there right now. So in theory, this roster is going to look like Travis Shaw at second, John VR at short, and Mike Moustakas at third with Jesus Aguilar. I mean, that's some power.
I like
there.
It.
They should get some starting pitching. That
a lot
might
of power
help.
In that middle infield, man.
Yeah, good for them, but it would help if you had some pitching. So Mike Moustakas, this is a great move.
I agree. I think it's a great move. I want to know about a trade I just did. I want to know what you think. I flipped Chase Anderson, speaking of the Milwaukee Brewers, for Franchi Cordero in a keeper league where I'm doing terrible in.
It's like a dynasty, right?
Yeah, dynasty.
Yeah, I think that's a great move.
Okay.
I like Franchi. I like Franchi a lot.
The original offer, and I always, I got to go to the Welsh for my minor league guys. The original offer was... It was Chase Anderson and Brian Anderson, and it was Franchi with Jorge Guzman and Fernando Romero thrown in on top. But I like Anderson. I like Brian Anderson.
Didn't you get that one?
Because I wanted to keep Brian Anderson.
I
think Brian Anderson adds some pop, and he's going to be real good.
I like the other one. If you Fernando Romero, like that alone, I really like. And who is the other guy you would have got?
Jorge Guzman.
Yeah, you should have came to me. You should have came to me. I'd have done that one. That would have been, it's really like pitching heavy, which isn't like the best. Like 2 extra guys. But take Romero and Guzman
over
Anderson.
I've got all those pitching prospects. I have Whitley, I have Kopech, and I have...
The 3 sport.
I have a lot of pitching prospects already. So I'm going to have to keep some hitting in somewhere. And Brian Anderson's already hitting at a high level in the bigs. He just needs to add a little bit of power, and we know powers that last will develop.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and if he gets out of Miami, it'd be great.
You know, Bogman, as you said, sometimes you got to pull a straight up Houston Astros and you got to blow the whole thing up. From a blow the thing up standpoint, well, I would have done, see, that's from a whole blow up standpoint, I'd have done that other trade to get Guzman and Romero.
But Anderson's so young.
Yeah, but he's not, but he's got a floor. it's not a great floor. Like maybe yeah. maybe his ceiling is Travis Shaw. You know, maybe that's a ceiling, which that's a obtainable one. But I also think the floor is like Lonnie Chisenhall.
I mean, he's already pretty good. Like he's okay. playing well this
What's
year.
What's he doing this year?
He's hitting like 285 somewhere around there. I'll look it up, but I really like Brian Anderson. Now, let me ask you something. Why do you hate Brian Anderson?
I'm going to do it again. It's a little namey collie thing, but like I was in on Brian Anderson before most people. 2016 Fall Stars or
third
in the Arizona
base
Fall
and
League.
Outfield eligible.
I remember seeing him and I was like, hey, Brian Anderson's kind of a dude. He was doing some stuff. All right, I got it. He is hitting 285.
285, 8 homers, 60 runs, 49 RBI with 2 swipes, 364 OBP.
Need more power. Need more power if you're going to be a corner infielder, though.
That's what I said. What did I just say? Last tool to develop is power.
Well, you don't want
only
it to
25.
Yeah, but you don't want it to develop in the majors. You want it to develop once you get
to the
majors.
Well, I've got a couple of years before I'm any good anyway
why
in
don't
that
you,
league.
Why don't
so.
You dial me up? I need to do some trades in 3-sport.
Well, maybe. We'll see. I've got all kinds of stuff.
Should have traded Get Romero and Guzman. I'll take them off your hands.
I got stuff and I've got things.
I like stuff and things. I like Mike Moustakas in Milwaukee, which, by the way, you're going to have to move him from my AL to my NL roster in one of our entry leagues.
I hate it.
Gonna have
when
to
is this
that.
Trade deadline?
Don't by the way, don't love that because that AL team is better than the NL team. So not so great.
I think
me.
I'm 15 in AL and I'm like 4 in NL.
No, okay. Well, you're in one of them. You're doing one of them. All right. So let's get back to football. What were we talking about? Okay. So let's talk about the Josh Gordon thing for a second because I do feel like we've been heavily focused on
more
Dez
Browns.
Bryant. Yeah, more Browns. Well, there's a couple of Browns things here. What level have you now moved? Like, if this was, what was it the government would do? Is it like that they would release the scale of colors of how dangerous it is?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, where are you? You yellow? You orange? Is this code red?
I'm probably yellow. I'm definitely not green. Everything's not okay.
No.
But not I'm not red yet. So I don't think we're at orange. Because like Dez Bryant signs, I'm at orange.
I think 100%. I feel orangish right now. I feel like we are at orange, but it could move with just some information. But I feel like the world is speculating. Like this is a stock market crash we're having right now because of speculation that we just don't understand.
Yeah, we talked on the phone earlier.
I'm worried.
You seemed very concerned. You seemed Bogman level concerned. Like, I don't like to mess around with the suspended guys. But for whatever it is this season, like, you know, look, Josh Gordon took the right step. This is the right step you want a guy like Josh Gordon to take. He said, hey, look, I'm feeling like I'm going to crack. I got to get out of here. And the Browns said, you know what? You did the right thing. Excellent.
Yeah, no. So I love that, and I've been very avid about saying like, dude, love that he took the step to say like, I don't want to slip. I need a little bit more help. I'm gonna be back. But we're getting no reassurance. Here's the only information that we've got outside of first off John Dorsey being like, yeah, he'll be back in like 30 or 3 months or two. You know, he just rattled off numbers. He's like, hey, he might be back next week, 30 days, 3 months, a week. I don't know. He just had no idea. The only other piece of information we've got is they're now thinking about bringing in Dez Bryant. And if they're legitimately talking about signing Dez Bryant when you have Coleman, Gordon, and Landry, that screams issues around Josh Gordon. We've got to get some information. All I want to know is, like, someone on record tell me, did he fail a drug test? Is he in a warning protocol? What is going on? Please confirm that the Dez Bryant move has nothing to do with Josh Gordon. That's all that I want to hear. Any
so
wide receiver move
drafting,
doesn't have to do with him.
We're doing some best ball drafts right now.
Yeah.
And one of them we passed on Gordon already. That's done with.
Yeah, we actually have an ITL one that's coming up here. I think we'll be drafting probably tomorrow.
Right. So that draft comes up. And he starts sinking like a stone. You know, he is getting down there into the sixth round, Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
Are you pulling the trigger?
What's our roster look like?
We've got
three running backs, two wide receivers.
Yeah, let's go with that. Three running backs, two wide outs.
Yeah, I'm going to pull that trigger right now.
Okay, so
especially in best ball,
sixth round is okay.
Yeah, best ball, I can like, I feel like I can get away with more in best ball.
What if it's one wide receiver, two running backs, or three running backs, and a tight end? We went ahead with Kelsey. We went ahead with Ertz.
I might like again in best ball. I do feel like this is a little bit different.
You're doing a slow draft, same opportunity.
I don't know,
I
man.
I think I'm taking it.
I think I might too. I'm just really worried. The worst thing that can happen.
How are you more worried than I am? How is this possible?
It's the uncertainty of the entire thing. Like it's one
That's
thing.
That's what I say. Did we switch brains?
But
this is what I say all the time. I think that we don't have certainty.
No,
right,
but we're not. Okay.
But I think that it's enough to say that. Look, if he was suspended, the NFL probably would have come out and said something.
No, there's plenty
of time.
Dude's
already in. He's already in rehab.
Yeah, but don't you remember, like, he did, like, a rehab, and he was staying in there, and it was a proactive thing. So
and
the
he
NFL
failed
didn't
again, and everybody
him.
Called him an idiot and made fun of him. That was the whole thing. That's why he was out for so long. He's already in rehab, and he screwed up again.
This guy being proactive so he doesn't hurt his season or his teammates or his career. I'm all about that. What I'm saying is for that to happen, then the team to not openly fully address to us the issue, then talk about bringing in a former star wide receiver and also give no reassurance like, hey, this doesn't have anything to do with Gordon, by the way. This is just bettering our team. We're not getting any of that stuff.
I know what's happening.
That's leading the worry.
I know what's happening. And this is finally what it is the reason that I am usually the guy that is avoiding these dudes is because I've gotten burned by situations like this so many times because I used to be that I don't care. I'll take the risk, whatever. If it works out, I'm beating the crap out of everybody. Right. I used to be that guy and I got burned so many times. And Josh Gordon has made you look like a silly goose for like the last 2 years in a row.
He's hurt me.
So I think you're fool me once, fool me twice. All right. I ain't doing it
again.
Well,
I don't think he,
I'm
not
sorry.
Last year. I don't think this most recent year he made me look bad at all.
He only played 5 games and he wasn't that good.
Okay, so, but his cost was like practically nothing, and that's why we was in on it.
You know, wasn't nothing at the end, you know? I mean, like right before the season started, you had to pay a little bit for him.
It was still, it was low. The years before that didn't work out.
It probably helped you in 3 games.
It's like PTSD with him. Like it's a post-traumatic type of thing with Josh Gordon. It sets off. No other guy sets me off like this, except the one other guy that I just don't know how to wrap my hands around, LeSean McCoy. Now, I want to talk about LeSean McCoy on the other side of this break here, but the one positive story that came out of Browns camp recently is that apparently Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield relived the scene from Step Brothers where they're like, did we just become best friends? Yep. You want to do karate in the garage? Yep. And they decided to become a meth distribution center as they got an RV.
Allegedly.
And are reliving Breaking Bad, where they now have a quarterbacks only RV. It's their own little quarterback club. They rented an RV and they have it at camp and no one can go in but quarterbacks.
Do you think, because this is what I think this is. I think this is look, we're going to get away from all the people from Hard Knocks in this RV. So only quarterbacks allowed. This is where we're going to come to talk.
Well, they're probably like, we're going to need a camera in the RV. I wouldn't be surprised.
You gave us unlimited access.
Let me think.
Maybe they drive it to like off property. You know what I mean?
But let me pose this to you. What if Hard Knocks said, we'll pay for that RV, but you got to let us have a camera in there. And you guys can have your own space. You have lots of space to do activities.
I like the karate in the garage. I just want to know, like, it's Baker and Tyrod. Is Drew Stanton hanging out in there?
I bet you he's not invited. I mean, they're like, it's quarterbacks only. Hey, I'm a quarterback.
Drew. But it's not for you. Brogan Roback is over there. Like, come on.
Guys,
guys.
We got money. Quarterbacks that make over $1 million. That's what it is.
Well, Stanton definitely could have been in there. Brogan Roback's over there like, come on, I went to East Michigan. Just
the guy
me.
From WWE? Roback?
Brogan Roback?
Roback? I don't know. What's his name?
I don't know. It sounds like you're saying something offensive. I'm just saying the guy's name.
Ryback. Ryback is a wrestler.
Ryback.
Who are you saying?
Brogan Roback.
I don't even know who that is.
He's a quarterback on the Browns
roster.
What's
his first name?
Brogan.
Rogan?
B-R-O-G-A-N.
He's Brogan? He's a bro? Brogan.
His name is definitely, I mean, this is not like Bortles, Brodels. You can actually say bro for this.
Bro, what is his last name?
Roback, R-O-B-A-C-K.
Brogan?
Play for in Michigan. I play college fantasy football, the Welsh.
Oh, this guy looks like Brogan something else. This guy looks exact. Okay, picture in your head. Everybody close your eyes for a minute. Just close your eyes. What?
Unless you're driving.
Yeah, that's a good point. What does a Brogan Roback look like? What do you think he looks like? Does he look like a, I don't know, a blue-eyed, blonde hair, see-through skin, like a prototype, maybe like
looks
a German?
Like the skinny version of my photo radar ticket.
This dude is something else looking, and his name is Brogan Roback.
Brogan.
He's Brogan to me, my new favorite player. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back next hour. More stuff and things. We'll be back.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This Independence Day, wrap yourself in comfort and freedom with Minky Couture. From stars, stripes, and snuggles to cozy classics, our luxury blankets are proudly made to comfort. Whether you're watching fireworks or hosting backyard barbecues, be proud to be cozy all summer long. Celebrate comfort. Celebrate freedom. Celebrate you. Shop now at MinkyCouture.com and make your 4th of July unforgettably cozy.